Welcome back to Bushidocast. We've got an exciting exclusive to talk about. Marcelinos has allowed us to share some details on a new Rose profile for the Silver Moon Trade Syndicate. So, I think, Darren, we were just going to give a bit of an overview of the card, the profile. It'll probably be shared soon. Don't know when, but we just give a bit of a kind of initial impressions on it, and for people who are looking forward to seeing more details on that, because I know the model has been previewed, this should be quite exciting.
And it is a really, really great looking model. Really, really like the look of it. So let's find out what Sasuko can do.
You're right. The name is Sasuko. I think we saw artwork of her actually as far back as the last edition rulebook, maybe even before that. Certainly, I've seen the artwork from that. So it's great to see her finally make an appearance in the game. And to start with, I say, she's obviously a rose and a shaitai, so has the keywords there, so she'll go into a rose theme in Silver Moon Trade Syndicate, so that's pretty essential, and I think that kind of defines her kind of character, if you like. She's 11 rice, and I think she's kind of designed to be a support rose. So the idea that we've seen or shared on Discord from the game's developers is that the roses will be developed so that you could you can take a full rose list at some point. I think she complements the other roses quite well. So we really have one full support rose, I would say, right now with Miss Al. And we have a number of other roses that fulfill kind of good kind of battlefield positions. Ayame is quite good in kind of zones and so on. So we sort of have a number of different roles that are starting to be filled by the different roses, and I think she kind of builds on that. So you're a step closer to being able to fill a full rose list. And she adds something a bit different to the others, and we'll get into more about how she does that. So just a quick breakdown on the profile if you haven't seen the card. It may be out by the time you listen to this. Melee pool of 2, movement of 5. Range doesn't really matter, but she has got a range of 3 and a key stat of 2-6. Boostable for melee and movement, which is quite unusual and welcome. So she can boost her movement, so that's always handy in a pinch, and she can boost her melee pool, which is only 2, but as mentioned, I think she's kind of looking at more of a support character role, so that's understandable there, but it's good that she can boost it in case
I do think regard. If she has got some potential, as we'll get onto, she might be able to boost a little bit easier than you might expect.
Yes, exactly. On to the melee weapons. So she has actually a +1 melee strength modifier and size set defense. So
size set defense is always good for a support character to get out of a pinch. So that's always welcome.
That's always good, and +1 melee strength is actually quite high. The roses do not always have the best melee strength modifiers, so +1 is actually, as far as roses go, pretty good. It's probably the highest, in fact. I mean, they're generally 0 or -1 or -2, so that's actually bad.
Oh wow! Okay,
I think it's because she's
that's those bladed kind of. Fans she got, isn't it?
I think according to some of the stuff on Discord, it's because she builds up her muscle strength with her day job. So
could say he is a masseur, isn't she?
I think that's the idea. Yeah, that's the background. Yeah, but she's got a second melee weapon as well, which is -1 strength, but key block, which I really like.
Bigger key block. Very interesting. Yeah,
bigger key block's always welcome against the right target. Can be quite good. And I appreciate she's not necessarily going to be there for melee because of melee Paula 2 is not necessarily going to put her into a position where you're often going to use that, but I think that's always is always good to have options. It's quite thematic as well.
Yeah,
so she obviously definitely knows where to, you know, where the pressure points are, so that seems pretty cool.
I mean, the trickiest thing there with the -1 is still you've got to cause at least a wound. But, you know, it's great that she's got the opportunity to do that. And I think that'll probably come up more than I would initially expect. But we'll see.
Yeah, then she's got some traits. So the first one that really stands out is agile. So if she doesn't like the combat she's in, she can just walk out.
Yeah,
that's really good for a support character. That's good.
That will size up defense means she's going to be quite hard to pin down.
Yeah, quite hard to pin down, exactly. Disguise 5, which you kind of expect for a rose, but for 11 rice, that's a very, very cheap disguise. And obviously, if she's in the Jade Rogue gummy theme, that would be Disguise 6. So, you know, pretty decent.
That certainly gets a lot harder to get through, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Dodge 1, again, standard rose tech, but certainly keeps the roses alive longer. I should say 5 wounds, wound boxes, which are pretty standard for roses. So standard kind of rose defensiveness. Evasive, which again, pretty common roses, but super good for scenario play. They just walk into someone's zone, put a zone on someone, and make scenario play very difficult. So that's amazing. She doesn't actually have to get into combat to make an impact on the game. Jump up, again, very standard for roses, but amazing in the right matchups, particularly against monks and other factions that like
up more and more these days.
Yeah.
Being immune to prone or jump up are actually highly desirable traits.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw Andy Palmer's kind of junglist was very much focused on Minato and Hibiki kind of throwing people around, knocking them prone. Oh, and Hiroto and Eldest Brother, lots of prone kind of generating sources. So yeah, there's a fair amount in the game. And if you can just jump up from it, it's really quite handy in the right situations because you just don't lose those activations and get yourself out of a tight spot. So always welcome. Light-footed, again, it's one of those ones that's often overlooked but can be pretty critical in many games. And combine that with a movement of 5, it keeps the roses moving around. Again, nothing new to a rose profile, very much the standard what you'd expect, but very much welcomed. And the last one is actually really quite special, Range Defense 2. And again, yeah, she's kind of a support rose.
That's good.
Yeah, so we have seen ranged defense. I mean, generally when they have these kind of fan things, they get a bit of ranged defense. So Haname has got ranged defense too. That's quite exceptional because she's high-end kind of tech. And Ayame has ranged defense 1. But ranged defense 2, really good. Really good. That definitely puts her up there and potentially means she can actually shield other models from ranged attacks.
For support character, for 11 rise, she looks really frustratingly hard to kill, actually, because you've got to get through first off, you have to get through a disguise. Range defense 2 means that it's very difficult to deal with her in that way, even if she's only got 5 wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And like we sort of talked about, sidestep defense, agile, and dodge all make for quite a good defensive profile.
Absolutely. So and with key set of 2, she's still reasonably okay against some like fear test and opposed key test and challenge test. So, you know, she's not super vulnerable to things that hit the key stat. I mean, like most raiders, she doesn't have bravery or anything, but she still has got that kind of reliability based on the 2 dice, but we'll get into what else she offers. So I think that's a pretty solid base, basically.
Yeah, base for a support profile for support character is quite good, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously in Jade Rose Gummy, she'd get the extra bonuses that come with that. So the extra disguise and option of being able to flank and so on. But I think her, like, the best bits about her really come with the key feats.
What does she offer to us actually be the support role?
Yeah, so she's got 2 of them, and they are, as far as I'm aware, completely new key feats, so that's quite exciting to see. And she has 1 unique effect, which is pretty significant as well. So Invigorate is a key feat, which is a quite expensive 4 key to pull off. It's an active feat, so you do have to be the active player to do this, but it's not an actual action, so that's not bad. It's targeted and it's 3-inch range, which is pretty decent. So you have to be able to see your target and be within 3 inches to get it off, but you can do this just as the active player. You don't have to actually activate the model. So that's all quite good. So target-friendly, non-soulless model, non-animal model, gains an activation counter. So obviously trying to stop the interactions with the Farkami and the Silverbacks and such there, which is, you know, completely appropriate. Because I think it's meant to be kind of giving extra activations to more kind of human sort of models.
But that makes sense for her background.
Yeah, but that could be huge. I mean, that could be, it could be someone who could go into Jay's Rose Gummy, or it could be someone who's not in Jay's Rose Gummy if you took her in outside.
It could be a massive Buto, you know, if you wanted it to
Could be a Buto, could be Karu, could be... could be Wasupu, you know, you could just get him next location. Wasupu, more activations. What's going on here? So it could be, you know, a lot of different very cool models that you could get an activation on, which is very, very relevant. And it's not taking her an activation either to do that. So like command and order, that tends to use a model activations to give other model activations. So it's pretty order efficient to do so. But it's that cost of 4 key, which seems a lot, but we'll get on to that.
And it's worth knowing it's actually also only once a turn.
It's only once a turn, yeah, which otherwise
does limit it a bit.
Yeah, I think you'd be struggling to fuel it more than that because of a 2-6 key stat.
I think it would just about be possible.
But that definitely feels impressive for 11 rice model on top of what we've already said. And then her second key stat is a much cheaper one. It's key fee is only one cost. It's active, target again, and this time base to base, so she has to be in base to base with something. And she will remove a Berserk, Control, Frightened, Impetuous, Spirit Block, or Stun Marker from target non-animal model. So I think, again, the non-animal bit is really to try and, you know, kind of incentivize taking other things than just some of the cheap animals. Or at least the interactions will kind of pay off then. Obviously, removing control,
it fits as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not friendly model, which is important, so that you otherwise the control bit wouldn't really work. But removing control is amazing, and it's just, again, it's an active feat, so you can do this quite freely, and it just requires you to be very close to the model you want to kind of influence.
I think that's for me the only thing that stood out as a negative this one, because obviously it's really great that's active, like you say, and so she can potentially do this quite a lot, but she does have to be sitting right next to the person that she wants
or they come to her, that's the cool thing. So she's got movement stat 5 and she can boost, so she's quite mobile. You could even put Vala Rage and Breath if you really were thinking, you know, what if. But yeah, you know, she's pretty mobile as it is, and as I said, she's got agile and everything, so she's getting around the table.
She can get to where she needs to.
Evasive, agile. She should be able to get where she needs to, you know, reasonably comfortably. And yeah, I guess what was interesting to me was remove Berserk counter, because we don't often see Berserk counters being put out. I think one of the orphans puts it out, the Wrath one. It's because it's so debilitating, you don't often see it being allowed. So it's interesting that she can remove it. I don't know whether that's an indication of things to come or whether that's just covering the bases. Control's obviously you know, a common enough thing. Not everyone takes it, but you know, you do see it. So that's highly relevant and highly efficient way of removing control. Super efficient.
Efficient. I think for me, that's the one that really stands out as the main use. But I also would say stun markers are very, very popular. So, you know, brilliant to have the opportunity to get rid of those as well.
Stun's pretty popular. You'd have to remove one for each key token, but you could key up to, you know, play this because it's not once a turn. So, you know, if your model's unfortunate enough to get stunned multiple times, which happens actually against Minamoto more than you think.
Yeah, against Minamoto, yeah.
Then you can remove multiple. Spirit blocks, always welcomed, because although it's kind of niche, it's really good when it comes in. So being able to remove it's pretty great. Impetuous, again, is pretty niche. It's probably only when you're going to play into another Silver Moon list that you'll see it. I mean, there are other ways, but often it's through, you know, Silver Moon event cards that Impetuous sort of gets handed out. It's a few key feats and other events that can do it, I guess. Then Frightened, I think, is the other big one. So being able to move Frightened markers, as I said, Roses are generally okay because they've got key stat 2, but they will occasionally fail their fear test. So if you're trying to build out a Rose list, or even the Shite, like, you know, they do often fail their fear test. So it gives you that kind of, you know, way out. So it's a pretty good way to deal with Frightened as well.
I can see that being nice as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just clarify that for the listener, because it's one of the things that it probably only comes up when you have a weird situation. But effectively, there are some models in the game that can give you immunity to states or remove states, but that doesn't give you, and so fear is one of those, but that doesn't give you immunity to fear. Now, that may sound like a bit of a weird thing to say, but if you think about it, when you make a fear test into a model, you don't get a Frightened marker, you just don't get to move into that model. But if they come into you and you fail your key challenge test, then you will get a fear marker. So in a way, being able to remove Frightened markers is great, but it's not equivalent to Fearless. Fearless would allow you to actually move into a model that causes fear. Hopefully that will make sense. If it doesn't, post in Discord, because we can give more a better explanation, I'm sure. But it came up quite a few times for your dissension, didn't it? Because you've got ways to remove fear. And until the new Oshibi came out, you didn't really have a way to get into models practically.
Now thankfully you can have Steadfast and remove fear tokens. Pretty good times for being to be a Tengu.
Pretty good times, but that gets even more complicated.
and
we're going slightly off point, but anyway, there's a point there.
Let's talk about her unique effect, because I think this is actually really powerful.
Meditation. So this model may perform a focus action as a simple rather than complex action, which I think I've seen on a monk before, the guy with the guitar.
He can give as that out anyone who spends virtue token can do that. So it's actually quite hard in Rokan to give those virtues out. So it's not an easy ability to utilize. So the fact that he can just do it is pretty potent.
It's just herself, it is pretty good. Essentially, she could sit there and just meditate for 2 to get 6 key. As I mentioned, she's not required to do simple actions for her key feats. They're all active. So, you know, she could just sit there and be able to then dish out 6 key, because you generate 2 at the start of turns, meditate for another 4. In theory, you know, I think where she is on the table obviously matters.
But I can imagine she can
fuel her feats.
I can imagine her focusing for one activation, and then she could do a run for another, and she can still move 7.5 inches. So she can get some extra key without necessarily slowing her down as much as you might expect, which really does allow her the power of that invigorate.
Yeah, absolutely. And given that she can boost her, you know, so if she's got that much ki, she can, you know, she could easily generate six ki for herself in a turn if she wanted to. Her melee boost and her movement boost, far more attractive, you know.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you can totally imagine viable. All of a sudden she could boost her melee twice, and now that we got four dice, that ki block is looking a lot more likely to get in, or maybe she just does damage with the plus one melee strength attack.
So I think she's generally there because she wants to, you know, she wants to kind of do her ki feats. But yeah, absolutely, she could do ki boosts with all that ki. Gives her quite a lot of options on the table, and I mean, that's great.
I certainly think she has the potential to give a bit more bite than you might expect for a support character, but obviously that's not her focus. But she just adds that state removal, which I'm always a big fan of. Struggle not to play with some state removal, you know, so I'm, you know, always good to see that. And you know, extra activations is always welcome as well. There's so many extra plays you can make, whether it's going for objectives, getting a smashy character to be more smashy, or whatever else it may be. Activations are always going to be nice to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And effectively, she generates two key a turn. She focuses for a simple. She's got enough key to do invigorate, give another model an activation counter. So very easily achieved. And then I guess it's just kind of what can you do with that? You know, you just have to think about the other interactions. There's obviously a lot of competition in Silver Rose Syndicate for support models. They generally come in at around 12 rice. So she's kind of definitely in the ballpark. She's a bit cheaper, probably a little bit more flexible in some certain areas. So she's not as, like Misao is probably a bit more further down the support spectrum than she is. She's somewhere kind of, you know, more in the, you know, not quite in the middle, but you know, she's not quite as pure support as Misao, but she's not really you know, quite in the middle with the roses in terms of being able to do mid-table actions. So I think she's kind of got a bit of a niche spot there, and an interesting kind of thing to add to the wider Silver Moon Syndicate, because while they have got a lot of support characters, they haven't really got anything quite like this yet. They've got a lot of really good support characters, though, and it's always the hardest thing to think, you know, do I want Kai D? Do I want Holzo? And, you know, there's so many good support characters. But extra activations, that's really good. That's going to get people interested. I think people want to see if they can work her into the list, as you said. Buto of extra activations. Oda can already give extra activations to Buto, so why not even more activations? You know, the mind starts to think, okay, yeah, you know, there's some really good synergies here.
Yeah, very, very exciting new addition then. Brilliant. Well, we'll have to see how she plays on the table. But yeah, very excited by the profile.
Yeah. So, so we should probably say thanks for Jason for giving us that heads up. I think it probably will be widely shared soon. As a Silver Moon Trade Syndicate player, I'm very excited about this one. Quite looking forward to seeing how she fits into my warband and all the interactions I can kind of generate out of her. I think she looks like a really strong card, really nice looking model as well. So really great. And it's one step closer to being able to play full rows if you want to go down that route. But I think she's probably got enough kind of in the profile to make her, you know, definitely worth consideration in wider other list. And yeah, I think for me, probably it's still a bit of a mix between the Shaitei and the Roses. When I go, you know, I still kind of think Yum is a new guy. He's just been added, and Wasupu are really, really great kind of damage dealers. But this certainly makes me feel like we're getting that bit closer to being able to go for a list that's kind of more centered around Roses, and, you know, get to that state where every model has got disguise could be really good. So quite looking forward to seeing how that might play out.
It's definitely quite interesting.
Absolutely. So she's very much like, you know, got the basic Rose DNA in terms of her skill set, but coming at it from a more of a slightly more support style. But I think she adds a lot, and that's great to see, because as I said, they've got quite a lot of competition in that support space, but I can see her being competitive, not just within the necessarily in the Rose setup, but in the wider pool. Have to try around the table and really see how that all gels together, but it looks like a very intriguing profile.
Okay, well, thank you all for listening, and we'll be back soon with more Bushido content.